Hey there, Chase Vegas here.
And I'm Cassidy Queerface.
And we are
1, 2, 3.
The Uncanny Dispatch.
That's kind of sharp. Take that down afterwards.
Oops,
I was going for a small creepy child. And it turned out to be very sharp and high.
For this one, I should have done a little bit more like loungy or something like that.
Oh, that was it. No. I didn't know your theme beforehand.
No, nobody does. Because it's turned into so many things.
Jeez, Vegas is a fucking mystery.
Dun, 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 dun,
an enigma wrapped in a riddle. Wrapped in a, I can't remember what the quote was.
And
a question mark.
And a pipe bomb.
And a pipe bomb. Wait, you guys that are new, we probably should explain that.
Bobby had a baby, it's pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm. We did a lot of gender reveal party disasters of shit that went terribly wrong when people had like a gender reveal party.
And still continues to.
So, Bobby had a baby. It's what is our warm-up exercise. It originally was Bobby had a baby, it's a boy. Mm-hmm. But since the gender reveal shit, Bobby had a baby as a pipe bomb. You're welcome.
Sing along.
And I'm sorry. If you haven't listened to the gender reveals
go back
disaster episode, you absolutely should.
Nothing is great. Nothing.
Johnny protested his friend's gender reveal party.
Good. Good. Yes. 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 Thank you, Johnny.
He at least made sure there were no explosives involved. So, entire wildfires have been set with gender reveal parties. Anyway, it's a running theme of our fucking podcast because we get sent all the stories when there's a disaster, and I will absolutely report on them every week.
Do you have any up tops?
Nope.
Okay, well, mine is the high-low.
High-low. Hi, lo, it's off to drink we go. So come get drunk and watch a show. Hi, lo, hi, lo, hi, lo, hi, lo. Oh, no, Chase, I'm going to have feelings now.
We might have to post that video that we recorded a long time
ago. Back in the fucking day. It was like 10 years ago, we moved to the Hi, lo as our home venue for Bang Bang Queer Punk Variety
10
Show.
10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
12 years ago. Nearly 12. 11.
Okay, 11, because we're 13 years old this year, mm-hmm. and we moved like a year and a half after we started.
Sure did.
And the Hi-Lo has been our home. Listen, we've done other venues, and we love you other venues. We absolutely love you, but Hi-Lo has been our home.
Has it not been everyone's home?
Yeah. It's more than just... Oh, fuck, Chase.
I know, so...
It's more than just a bar. Trying to explain that to other people... I was like, no, it's not just a bar. It's like, it's home. I could show up there any day, any time, mm-hmm. any night of the week, and find somebody that I'd like to talk to and hang out with.
Now a stranger's your best friend.
Yeah, and the drinks are cheap, but also the company's great. The jukebox selections are great.
Come for the bathroom, stay for the handshakes.
Yep. Or the other way around. I don't know. No, the Hi-Lo has been my home since I was 21 and I'm 37 now, you guys. So,
I even have sources here for my up top.
For Hi-Lo?
For my up top. I have OKCMod.com via Lynn Rottschill, OKCTalk.com via Pete Brinkisty.
Wow, and, there's so many question marks in your sources.
And OKC Gazette. Via Josh Thomas. So I got that one right, at least. No lies, most of this is all from OKC Mod's article. They did an amazing work on all this. Because I even tried, this one is not even from Wikipedia. I looked at Wikipedia and said,
sure. The history of Hi-Lo is really long and most of it's underground because it had to be. Because they were a gay-friendly bar.
Yep.
Back whenever you couldn't even legally dress as the opposite gender without possible arrest.
Yeah.
So the fact that they had drag shows back in the fucking like 70s.
Yep. So I guess I'm kind of doing like a two-parter episode just because this is like my huge up top. And then my other one is a really fun story too.
We had our last Bang Bang show at the Hilo. Again, we don't know if the Hilo will be back, but they had to close down. Somebody did buy the building and they're not demolishing it, which is great. But the renovations are going to take years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At minimum. Like, I would guess on the low side, 3 years renovations, because there's a lot in that building.
Bang Bang will have its new residency.
We will. But I do hope the Hilo will be back. But those of us that are used to going to the Hilo like twice a week, or at least once a week to fucking hang out, we called it the Stray Bar.
I even have that in my entire story. Is it, whenever somebody comes in and walks in and says, is this a gay bar? No.
It's a stray bar. Doesn't matter what you are. As a young queer in Oklahoma City, it was the only bar I felt welcomed at, because I look cis and I look hetero. I'm not either of those things. But I look like I'm a straight girl to some people, I guess. And so trying to go out to the gay bars, I wasn't welcomed, especially whenever I was trying to be a drag queen. And the Hilo was like, yeah, bitch, we love you. Come on.
This was the first place that I ever felt like, this is home. I could be completely me. I can wear a costume every fucking day.
Yeah. And they would just get excited about it.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to pretend to do anything. It was just like, oh no, this is what I'm feeling today.
We know and love all the bartenders. The bartenders got dental.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they not only got minimum wage, they got dental. Mm-hmm. So not server prices. They actually got paid well and tipped and health insurance.
Hello, Belle.
Thank you, Chris Simon.
Would you like me to start this?
I'm sorry.
You asked for this.
I know, I did.
I did. You can chime in at any point in time. So you want a little bit of history?
Absolutely.
The Dene Building was the brainchild and the namesake of Matt Dene, a World War I vet who worked as an architect and a home builder. And after he came back from the war, he started to design everything. So this is why he designed his self-named mixed-use building along with the old Class and Circle to become the Dene Building.
I thought it was Dene. It's Dene. Dene, huh?
It may be Dene. I may be saying things wrong. Dene, Dene.
I've never heard it pronounced out loud.
Okay, me either. Okay, Dene or Dene. But it may have been constructed in two different phases. The first one being in 1948 and the second one being in 1954.
Jesus.
So if you aren't from here and you have no clue what the fuck we're talking about, I'll post some pictures, look it up, or just kind of just imagine like this jigsaw puzzle of beautiful insanity.
Oh, the building is so fucking weird. It's like amazing. Apartments and like an art gallery and a couple bars and a parking lot.
And a record store and a diner and and a patio.
Mm-hmm. It was like a hipster art building before those existed.
So here's a little bit of a quote. There's a fine dining high club with the dining and ballroom dancing. And the Hilo that we know now is downstairs was the low club. And
hey-o.
And so that info came from Chris Simon.
Oh, Chris.
So there's a nice little quote from there.
The best bar owner I've ever known in my entire life. Chris, I don't know if you listen, but you're one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Sweetie Petiti, and I'm going to hug you the next time I see you.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fire that gutted the entire bar in April 1970.
Oh, shit.
And so that's whenever the club was rebuilt. And opened not too long afterwards. And the magical place transformed into the first public places in OKC where members of the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. could gather without fear of being discriminated against, beaten up, or worse.
Mm-hmm.
The Hilo was a safe haven. It was home.
Any orientation. So you could show up and be straight or show up and be gay. And everybody was fucking cool because we were at the Hilo. Everybody was just there for a good time, not a long time. You know why I say that? We were all there until the lights came on at last call because we call it the Hilo hole. You go there for just one drink and then suddenly it's 2 a.m.
Damn it, you vortex.
Because you started having fun and hanging out. But I was like, it was, if you're not in Oklahoma City, there is a gay district mm-hmm. that they have that's on one specific street that's like three blocks long.
Yeah.
And that's the gayborhood.
Yes, it's the gayborhood.
The Hilo has been a gay straight bar outside of that, even before, like, again, Bang Bang had to be created for a reason, is because we didn't fit in.
It was everything. We had everything. And the Hilo has absolutely everything in the entire world that you could ever ask for.
And, okay, I will say Oklahoma City is way better now. Yes. There are so many more queer-friendly spaces now. But 16 years ago, Hilo was it.
Mm-hmm. Unless you wanted to go to the Strip. And
I wasn't welcomed on the Strip because I look like a cis woman.
I was too punk rock.
I look like a cis woman. And so I didn't get accepted in the gayborhood. Which, it hurts when like gay people reject you as a queer. Because I'm like, I'm queer too. What do I have to do to prove it to you?
Well, you know what? I love that the younger generations are changing that around and making everything a lot better and spreading the amount of crazy insanity, queerness and how weird you can be.
So proud of you, kids.
As an art performer.
So proud of you, kids. I don't want it, like, Bang Bang to take credit for that. Bang Bang was just, like, doing what other cities were already doing, but it hadn't been done in Oklahoma City before. And then now there's an explosion of genderqueer weird shit.
You can do whatever you want.
Now. And it's so exciting. And there's so many safe places for queers outside of the gay bars, which I appreciate a whole fucking lot.
There was an article that I read not too long ago. I think it was like even last week, maybe from the Gazette, that Oklahoma City is becoming one of like the most
Oklahoma City's getting queerer.
Yeah.
And it was like, cool. It absolutely is. Because again, it was scary here back in the day.
Yeah.
Like you could just go to like Bricktown and get beat up for wearing makeup.
Remember whenever we tried to do our promo there?
Woof.
Woof.
Woof. And now we show up at any of the bars in Midtown, Uptown, Downtown. And everybody's like, hey, you guys are fun.
Hey, Cass and Chase.
Anyway, sorry. But before all of that, there was Hilo. Before it spread out and got acceptable and great, and other bars started to appreciate like queers and art, there was Hilo. There was always Hilo, and they always had drag shows every Friday night.
I'm going to get to that too.
Okay.
Since it is my story that I'm telling, would you like to take a wild turn?
I'm always ready for it, Chase.
Here's a wild true crime story. All right, picture it. The year was 1966. A man, possibly a boyfriend, was seen loitering outside the Hilo when a woman exited the bar around 1:30 a.m. on a quiet Tuesday night. He fired shots at her, dragged her kicking and screaming to his car, threw her inside, and took off.
What? No, our Hilo?
Yeah.
This is what you found?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Witnesses saw the incident and called police, but the man who was 27, the woman who was 22, were long gone by the time that they had arrived. According to the Oklahoman, police found a coat which contained four bullet holes, two pairs of shoes, a skirt and a sweater, and other articles of clothing whenever they arrived at the club.
No.
Jeez. Fucking Louise.
Four bullet holes?
After leaving the parking lot, the man drove onto Turner Turnpike, heading towards Tulsa. At the Chandler Turnpike gate, the woman escaped the vehicle and started running.
Oh, thank God.
The man jumped out of his car and took after her. Luckily, a highway patrolman saw the two struggling at the gate and came to the injured woman's rescue. While he was assisting the woman, the man got back into his car and drove off towards Tulsa. Mm-hmm. The officer took the woman to the Chandler Hospital, where she was treated for, quotes, minor flesh wounds and powder burns.
She got straight up shot at least four times that hit her coat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, 66?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the fucking hell? The police found the man in Tulsa and initially arrested him for assault and battery with a dangerous weapon.
Okay, good.
But they vacated the charge in favor of a more serious one, assault with intent to kill, and which carried up to a 20-year sentence.
This all sounds excellent. What are you going to tell me next?
Oh, geez. The man was the son of the owner of the Tulsa Oilers baseball team. He was released on bond for $2,000.
Mm.
God fucking damn.
Mm.
No source on if he was ever convicted or went to jail, but it looks like he is now a free man living in Texas by last source of like the 1990s.
Well, that sounds about white. I didn't misspeak. All that right. Sounds about white.
Well, there's my troublesome sandwich. On to a lighter note.
What? I don't know where the fuck this is going tonight, Chase. I
just like the high-low building.
I'm used to like some light and then some terribly dark. And then I don't know what kind of sandwich this is. Like there's some extra shit happening in here that I did not order.
So, you know, the high-low has always been known for having amazing live music and drag shows for years and years and years. That's where we've all gotten our start.
Mm-hmm.
Bands, musicians, drag, magic, you name it. Come on, you. I can
Are
post.
We talking about that now?
Like, I have my digital camera photos of the first drag show that you did there.
My first drag queen show was at high-low in 2009, August of 2009. The only place that would let me fucking perform with a vagina as a drag queen.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be my first year in 16 years that I won't have my birthday bash there. Can you believe that? And what I can say is the most magical birthday surprise that was ever constructed was by you. You did not let me know.
I did.
You did not let me know that Austin was even going to be coming into town, flying across the fucking country.
It was hard to get people to keep that fucking secret.
I was like strapped into the back of a car and driven around, just given like gin and soda. I was like, I need to go to the bathroom real bad, please. Like, no,
and it wasn't on a normal show night.
No, it was like a Thursday.
Yeah, we fucking like not hoodwinked. We scheduled the high-low to let us do a Chase birthday show. And Chase has been a staple there since before he was 21. So everybody was down for Chase's birthday. Anyway, keep going.
But then I'm like, can I at least run upstairs and go pee real quick? Nope, sure couldn't.
Let ya.
So I had to go through the front and guess who I met? Barry Manilow.
Yep. That was that night. Barry Manilow picked the Stray Bar in Oklahoma City because he just wanted a place. And okay, there's a room that was in the high-low that we all called the hooker room because that's where sex workers would meet Johns back in the day. And it was small and compact and away from everything. And that was just where business was conducted. But then they finally put up a sign calling it the hooker room and sinners welcome and stuff. And anyway, that's where Barry Manilow showed up.
And that's where
with his bodyguards. And we were there doing like a circus weird fucking drag show for Chase's birthday. We got authorization. We weren't getting paid for it. We were just like, can we take over to the stage tonight to do some weird shit? And then Barry Manilow was in the other fucking room. I can't make this up.
Nope.
And it is absolutely beautiful. But I was like, I'm not even going to acknowledge Barry Manilow. We're here for Chase tonight. And also Barry probably just wants to hang out in the hooker room and drink really strong cocktails by himself with his bodyguards.
Yes.
But that if you peek your head in the other room,
hi,
you will see some weird goth clowns doing drag. And you can do that if you want.
So all I want to say is we've had the best of times, the greatest of times, the most amazing and magical of times. And it has been years and years that I am, they're far before me, before us.
No. Bitch, back whenever we thought that the door that's in the back there that leads to a tunnel underground.
That goes to the hotel.
The urban legend dun. Was that tunnel was because it was illegal to dress in the opposite gender's clothing. And that's how the drag queens would escape. I think it's actually just a delivery tunnel.
Yeah.
But we love the story of back in the 70s with like Tony Sinclair. Uh-huh. And Tony Sinclair's portrait always hung up in our dressing room, which
still there.
The Hilo has a dressing room with a lot of mirrors. They had to open it up a larger area because we had more people. So they let us have the apartment upstairs.
So that's the High Club.
The High Club.
So that's where there was the dining and dancing.
Mm-hmm. Where the brunch gets prepared. But they always had so many mirrors and a beautiful backstage. Like, it was built with drag queens in mind.
Showgirls.
Oh, fuck. And I've changed everywhere from, like, a bathroom stall to, like, a fucking a kitchen next to, a fryer.
Oh, or to a curtain behind a partition.
Yeah. The Hilo is luxurious.
One of the most beautiful places in the entire world. And so I just wanted to pay homage and just say thank you and I love you. And I know that I pretty much like cut and pasted most of everything from everyone's articles, but
There's more ventures though.
There's
Chris Simon that we love to pieces, which is part of the reason the Hilo has been so great to patrons and bartenders. Now owns the Blue Note. Still owns the Lost Highway in Oklahoma City. So when somebody was like, if the Hilo's not there, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, well, there are really good bars. It's not the Hilo.
It's not the Hilo, but our family will move on.
I hope the Hilo will be back there eventually, but it's going to be like 3 to 5 fucking years because there's a lot of renovations to be done.
Oh, shit. Well, that was my up top.
Well, do you just want to like gut punch me straight through to the spine, or do you want to just like gut punch me on the outside and make me like react to this right now?
No, I just want to hug you and put my head on your shoulder.
I would love that, but we're gonna clang our microphones.
All right, so do you want to take a break between that?
Yeah.
All right, so just everybody imagine that's what's happening right now.
There's gonna be some snuggling after this.
Well, that
we're
was
back.
Hi, hello.
What the fuck do you have now? Well, after you made me fucking cry in your up top. Rude.
That was just the up top.
Rude.
One fucking hell of a up top. You ready for the story that I actually planned on telling?
Probably not. But whatever.
Let's see.
It's what you planned on. You typed it up. So let's do this shit. Rude.
I'm gonna tell this story a little differently than I normally do. But don't worry. It's fun.
Uh-huh.
I guess this entire night has been differently than what I would normally ever do.
You're going to hit me in the feels again? Do I need to prepare for this?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll just prepare for it anyway.
Here's my intro. Born April 3rd, 1942 in Norfolk, Virginia, he had stars in his eyes. He spent his early years in Roanoke, learning the piano, guitar, and steel guitar at age 6. Later on, his family moved to Newark, Ohio. He began singing in local clubs, theaters, and fairs with his older brother, Jerry. Next, his family moved to Phoenix in 1952, where he performed with the Rascals in Rhythm, and they appeared with the Grand Ole Opry Roadshow. Then a Las Vegas talent scout spotted them, and they went and moved on. But only one brother was left to carry the torch.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's fine. He didn't die.
Okay.
During the 60s and 70s, our star played shows nearly 6 nights a week and was constantly on TV.
Oh, I know who it is now.
During this time, he made friends with someone who would change his life. This show business legend I've been alluding to, known around the globe for his nickname, Mr. Las Vegas, is none other than Wayne Newton.
Ha ha.
So welcome to the show, Wayne Newton.
Did you pick this because of Vegas?
Not necessarily. I just found it. You know, whenever you put on YouTube at night and it just does like weird things and all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, huh, that's peculiar.
I have to sleep in silence, so I miss a lot of the weird YouTube shit that y'all bitches are all into.
Okay, I sleep in loudness. I know. My life is chaos, and I prefer it that way.
Shout out to Sleep Cove, the podcast.
Right. I really
He was very sweet, and he was like, thanks for the recommendation. I posted it on my Instagram stories.
I saw that.
I was like, I have a hard time with my brain turning off. I use Podcast Addict. So if you select a podcast, it quits playing after the podcast ends. So there's silence afterwards. So I'm not sleeping with sound all night.
Okay.
So I can just listen to whatever the fuck the podcast is for an hour. I'm always out within less than 30 minutes.
Man.
Thank you, Sleep Cove.
It often takes me like 2 to 3 hours to pass out.
Usually.
Yeah.
Except with Sleep Cove. He's a hypnotherapist.
All right.
So his voice and the music, I will challenge you to stay awake an hour and a half listening.
Let's go tonight.
Okay.
Tonight's a challenge.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Sleep Cove. I'm going to tap into you tonight.
You absolutely should.
Rad. Shall we roll on?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. I submit for the approval of the Uncanny Dispatch. The story of Mr. Las Vegas and the haunting of the King of Rock and Roll.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Okay. I was like, what the fuck are we going to do with Wayne Newton? But there's a haunting.
So I've already entered this entire history. So let's go into the real story. Wayne had just gotten done with one of his first Las Vegas shows and decided that he'd go to a local diner for a slice of, you know, pie and some coffee, the usual like late night diner. And then this guy sits down in a booth, like right next to Wayne, and orders the same thing, slice of pie, some coffee. And they aren't even like looking at each other. And this guy says, hey, buddy, do you know a woman named Sandy? And Wayne said, well, yes, we're actually dating. He said, well, so am I. Ooh. Turned around, took his glasses off and said, hiya. No, he didn't, but, you know.
Shut up. Karate Elvis.
Motherfucking, it was Elvis fucking Presley. But imagine being Wayne in this seat.
I mean, like, he's like, because he knows who, like, Wayne's, if this was the Pee-wee. 60s, Wayne's, Elvis is a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Elvis is a fucking thing. He's the king.
Yeah.
And Wayne, he's a Pee-wee.
Yeah.
So Elvis got out of his booth, walked over to Wayne and said, you're Wayne Newton. I don't know if my impersonation,
you know what, honestly, your Elvis impersonation is fucking great. Please continue.
Right, all right.
I'm not even going to try to one-up you because usually I do that with impersonations. And tonight, you are nailing it.
So then Elvis sat down at Wayne's booth. According to Wayne, he said neither of them knew about Sandy, but obs, Elvis did. Mm-hmm. And from that time forward, they were bosom buddies.
Same Sandy?
Huh?
There's a lot of girls named Sandy. And that was it. No. It was not as good as yours.
You know what? I really doubt that Sandy stayed in the picture from this point on.
Probably not.
Nah. So, donk a shame.
I was waiting for it. That's the only reference I know.
Which actually translates to a candlelit cafe.
Donka Shane?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was thank you.
Is it
Donka? Huh? Is thank you in German.
All right. So technically, this German composer named Bert Kampfert recorded it and titled it as Candlelit Cafe.
Ah.
So it is.
Donka Shane?
Donka Shane. That's where it comes from. So it was like, oh, so the two of you met at a candlelit cafe, a late night diner in Vegas.
It sounds so romantic, but you know what? Pie is romantic too, so I'm not going to discount that.
Who doesn't want coffee and pie?
I always want. Do. I'm not usually looking for love when I'm looking for coffee and pie, but sure.
Nah. However, sometime in 1977... Elvis had his week-long residency at the Hilton. Wayne just got done with his first show of the week and decided that he should go over and see his buddy. After Elvis was done performing, they went back to the dressing room, you know, to chill, chat. And then Elvis opened up about his personal problems that he was going through. Mainly, Priscilla was divorcing him. And he was really concerned about Lisa Marie and how he was going to keep her in his life. So a very vulnerable Elvis told Wayne that he was working. He told Wayne that he was working too hard and needed to spend more time with his daughter. And so they spent so long talking, sharing, caring, being soft bros.
Is there a politically correct term for guys that have sex with the same woman? Because the only one I know is incredibly racially charged.
I don't know.
Can we make up a new one?
Sure.
That doesn't involve, like, race?
Absolutely.
We can call them blanket bros?
Sure. Yeah.
That's better, right? Because we know the term we're thinking of. And we I'm not saying it. Blanket bros.
But, I mean, come on. If you're hanging out in a back room with a, let's just say that there's a, you know, a sad boy, like, hard on you with a...
Whoa. Why are you looking at my 20-year-old diary?
I'm really
sorry
about
this. In a back room with a sad boy?
Mm-hmm. And imagine the bevy of beverages and whatever drugs that you may be able to consume at that time.
Again, quit looking at my diary. That is not for you. I know my handwriting's pretty, but that does not mean you should read it. Rude.
Oh, jeez. It must have been, hello, V.E. You know, just like piece of parts, whatever things that they may have been doing at this time. Well, they spent so long doing this that Wayne missed his second show that night.
Oops. Oh. Listen, here's the thing. Given the chance to do like a second show of mine or hang out and do drugs with Elvis right now.
Still.
I actually would pick the show. I have a weird fucking work ethic. I'm upset about it. I don't make any I don't make any drugs doing money with Elvis. Oh my God. I don't make any money doing drugs with Elvis.
No, nor do I.
Have I skipped some things I should have been in attendance to because I was up for like a good time, not a long time? Yeah. But he had a show booked in Vegas, and he fucking missed it.
Two shows a night, he only did one. And so he went to go hang out with Elvis in between them. And got a little loosey-goosey.
Listen, that is a hard fucking choice. Is it Sophie's choice?
No.
Fun and work is what you're going for, but Jesus.
Exactly. So, 2 or 3 months after that night, Wayne just finished playing The Frontier. And then, ring-a-ding-ding, he got a phone call from Mr. Presley. Mm-hmm. Wayne was so excited. He was like, yo, E. Until he found out that it was Elvis's dad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Wayne was on the list of the loved ones to get the first news.
Oh, fuck.
Wayne was so speechless. So Papa Presley requested, please, don't make a big deal about this on stage. But if you play his favorite song, he'll hear it. So he did. Another 2 or 3 months go by. And
what was the favorite song?
I was never told.
Shit.
I know. I looked for
it. Was it a favorite of Wayne's or favorite, like, that Wayne performed or favorite that Elvis performed?
Favorite of Wayne's that he performed that Elvis loved. So another 2 or 3 months go on. And Wayne's agent called up and asked if he would play the Hilton. Wayne kind of choked up because he said it was the last place that Elvis worked. But no, that's just where they would hang out. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe just because of the story that it was Elvis's last venue, especially the way it was being told. Mm-hmm. But it was actually June 22nd, 1977 at the Indianapolis Market Square Arena. Wayne had his apprehensions, but decided that he should do it anyways. So for those special tribute shows, Wayne got his conductor and started arranging an Elvis medley. They played 2 shows a night, 7 nights a week.
Jesus.
One night, management sent a note that the balcony would be closed for a tighter show. So it was showtime. Halfway through, Wayne turned to the conductor and said, medley time. He announced to the audience that it was what was about to go on, and the crowd went wild. The room blacked out, except for that one stage light. Then the sound system broke. The monitors went out. But the band kept playing. Wayne looked up to that spotlight towards the balcony, and there was one man standing there.
No.
Kind of backlit from that spotlight. And I don't know how much you guys know about Wayne Newton, but there's a song called "It Was a Stranger in the Night." So Wayne squinted his eyes in focus and realized, that's Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne described him as happy and at peace.
We all want to know which version of Elvis, though. Was it Vegas Elvis or 50s Elvis?
Yeah.
The karate chop, like rhinestone
cape
Elvis?
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't dislike any version of Elvis.
Oh, hell no.
There's just a larger version of Elvis and a smaller version of Elvis. And if you're going to see a silhouette,
you better know which one you're looking at.
Boop. All of them had a pompadour, though.
My grandma was so obsessed with Elvis. Like,
I mean, rightly so.
And so, you know, I've gotten her like all like the collective plates in the entire world and like every memorabilia that I could find from what, like whatever catalog that they sold them from.
Did you see the trailer recently that Baz Luhrmann is doing an Elvis biopic?
Yes. You want to go see it?
I mean, yes. But what?
What in the actual hell?
Like, I was looking at it, like, I don't think I'm going to like this, but it's Baz Luhrmann and it's Elvis, so sure.
Well, you know what?
It was like the Batman and Nirvana on the soundtrack. I had to.
At 15, I didn't think I was going to like Moulin Rouge. And then my girlfriends dragged me into the theater and I said,
well, I was super Christian at the time. So there was a reason I shouldn't have liked Moulin Rouge, but I did. And then we had some issues to work through.
I went with the pastor's daughter.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, theater queers, I love you and I think I belong. Thank you, Baz Luhrmann. But sorry, that's what I was thinking of when, like, Elvis, I was like, ew. What? But it's Baz Luhrmann? So I'm
going
to watch anything that Baz Luhrmann does.
The soundtrack and whatever is going to be gorgeous and beautiful. Okay. Well,
woof.
Where did I leave off? Oh, so he was happy and at peace. He said it was like the two of them were alone in the room together.
Oh.
Then all the lights and the sound just started back up and everything just went fine. The only thing that was gone now was Elvis.
He's left the building.
He had left the building.
I apologize, but all y'all out there were thinking it, so I said it for you.
So fact or fiction or self-belief or whatever drugs he was on that night, either way, he closed out the show, went to the dressing room, fixed himself a drink, sat down, and then his drummer came in and they were chilling and he's kind of like, yeah, wasn't that strange? And Wayne was like, what? With all the technical difficulties, you know, like also that man in the balcony. Whoa, dude. So at least two people can account for this. Now, is this another reason to claim that people still see Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Suspicious minds.
Oh. And then also, while watching this little thing that I was watching, Wayne said, well, I guess that's why people think that they see Elvis so much. Anyways, that was one of Wayne Newton's most favorite memories ever. And it really is his Donkashane, which in the song actually has a part in it that goes, picture so, second balcony, there's a place that we'd meet, second seat, Gold Dutch Street, you are so sweet.
Do you think they kissed? I hope they kissed.
Who knows, but that's the end. And
I hope Fat Elvis and Fat Wayne Newton kiss.
I didn't actually write down my sources, but they are from The Enquirer and from and from Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Do we take our sources from that shit now?
And the actual Via Wayne Newton himself.
This podcast has gone downhill as far as research veracity goes.
I'm really sorry.
We are delving into some shit at this point. We are not an academic paper.
No, we haven't been for a second. But you know what? We're telling great stories.
True.
You know what? You're doing a lot better than I am.
Yeah, I had to like fucking verify my sources, and none of them could be Wikipedia while I wrote. You could go to Wikipedia and find the original sources, but you could never use Wikipedia as a source. But when you're going with paranormal stories, bitch, it's all up in the air. So it's whatever you can find.
So I've really just been trying to find like really fun ones, really short ones, since we've been working so much on our other jobs and everything right now.
This was beautiful.
So I wanted to give you something fun.
Wayne Newton and Elvis. And yeah, you know, I am picturing them exchanging them like a tiny little sideburned kiss in the back of a Vegas stage, because that makes me happy. Both in like full white suits, one with a cape. Both with really large sideburns.
Pancake makeup.
Give them just a little kiss. It makes me happy.
Oh, baby.
Don't get shame.
Yeah, there you go. There's my bizarre two-part story that I didn't mean to have a two-part story to.
Fuck it. So many feelings on both. I hate you.
I know.
For that. And also, thank you, because it was a really good... It was a really good story.
And I love you. And I wanted to wrap it up with something sweet.
I needed both of those things, and I appreciate you.
It's what's left whenever I'm alone.
Not if you check your text messages.
Oh.
Then I am all up in that business.
It's a new phone. I'll check it out.
Well, God damn it. Thank you for tuning in to episode 72, everyone. If you want to send your stories for us to read on the podcast, we would fucking love that. We haven't had any in a long ass fucking time. I don't know why, if you don't think they're funny enough, or if you just have already sent yours and we've already read them, which is fine.
I keep getting like articles, but...
No, we do love story suggestions, but if you want like your personal stories to be read on the podcast, love it. UncannyDispatch@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Uncanny Dispatch. Come hang out with us on there. We'll do some weird shit on the internet, and we can interact with each other.
I have lots of pictures for you this week.
And we love you to pieces. See you on the internet. Listen to us next week.
Love you. Goodbye.